Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your latest instalment of the Jersnet podcast, hosted by myself, Craig Gray. We are the Independent Rangers podcast, made for fans by fans, and all of our content is absolutely free. You can get us over at jersnet.co.uk, where you've got access to the forum, some articles, and a wonderful history archive as well. You can also get us on Twitter at Jersnet Online. We are live on YouTube this evening, folks, and we'd ask that you get involved in the discussion and the comments. Like and subscribe to the channel as well. And I just need to give a shout out also to our partners over at Forest Precision Engineering. They are a subcontract Glasgow-based engineering company who have been a big commercial supporter of Rangers for many years, and we're absolutely delighted that they're backing your pod. You can get them over at forestprecisioneng.com, and you can also visit the Forest Precision Executive Lounge, a stunning new hospitality area within the historic main stand. For information on how to book this unique and intimate space, you can email the club via hospitality@rangers.co.uk. Joining me tonight, folks, to discuss Groundhog Day for what's probably, the fifth year in a row now, Mr. Jamie Martin. Jamie, you're the only guy in camera tonight, so it's up to you to give the looks to the podcast out.
No, that's fine, buddy. All good here. I'm glad I've got a reception out here in Egypt, so... it's quite strange. I'm getting a reception and you're not.
it's the app that I'm using. It's dodgy. Ironically, it's called Camel. No Camel, like the Egyptian camels. I'm sure you've been going on that a few days anyway, mate. night boat to Cairo. Yeah, that's what they say. But yeah. Groundhog Day, Jamie. Just kind of that. That's kind of the word that people are using. It was in that away end today. Good at the start, bad at the end. It just seems to be the story of our season. You know, we played 45 minutes and going down at half time, talking to other people, we were worried because we had our good half and we knew it would happen in the second half. Start with the team though, Jamie. Team was obviously announced. A few strange decisions for me. Obviously, Rasker and Ndidi injured, in inverted commas. I think Ndidi probably was injured. Raskin, maybe he did have a slight knock, but, you know, there has been rumours that he's going to be away for a while. So, you know, who knows on that one? We'll take the manager's word for it. But Oliver Antman coming in right from the start, not been given a look in for the last however many games, and he throws him in at the deep end. He done the same with Scott Wilson on Monday. I know that maybe they're asking in the Didi changes were forced, but again, there's no structure or anything to the lineups that he picks, I don't think.
No. Listen, we've questioned this a few times. Danny Rowe, since he came to the club, he obviously turned things around for quite a while. Got a tune out of a lot of players who were bang average for me in terms of taking over for Russell Martin. And to be fair to him, you know, at one point we were second bottom of the league, Craig. It got us into contention for the league again, which, you know, he did a fantastic job with the players he had. And he added to that in January, which I thought, particularly a couple of the players, added a bit more strength, particularly Romans was a real class act for me. However, we went into the split and we've been found out. We haven't been good enough all season. And for us to be, you know, in that title contention run was quite amazing, really, after considering the start, as I said. But as I said, the split has found us out. We've played four games and we've won three. Lost three and only won one. But Craig, we're leaking goals. The last five, six games, we're leaking a lot of goals. The couple of games before the split, we played Dundee United, Falkirk, and, you know, these teams are scoring at will against us. We're conceding two and three goals a game now. It has been that, particularly in the split as well. Motherwell, Hearts, Celtic today, even at Falkirk, the first game. Falkirk scored three against us. I know we won 6-3 in that game, but you collect the goals over four games, it shows a weakness in our defensive frailties. and that showed today in the game too. We'll touch on anyway, but you can't go and win leagues when you're leaking goals like that. And we just don't dominate games enough for me, particularly big games. That's where Danny Rowe's been found out, and his team selections and use of substitutions at times and the subs he makes have been in question for me about six, at least half a dozen games. I've went, I'm just not sure. You know, the right midfield is a problem area. And I think that was a show of desperation today, throwing Ant-Man in, who's not featured for 6 months. In a game of that kind of magnitude and importance, I find that absolutely amazing. And I'm baffled why you throw Ant-Man in there. In a game of that kind of magnitude, as I said. And Sterling, I don't get that one. He's come on a sub after 59 minutes. We all know that he's a better defensive right back than Tav will ever be. And Tav's been a great servant to the club. However, he is, again today, showed his defensive frailties. And no, he's got his selection wrong. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. So many things wrong with it. I mean, Tav should not be starting at Celtic Park, like, ever. In my opinion, he's been found out too many times there. In the last year or two, when his legs have gone, Sterling should be playing in that position, starting in that position, every day of the week. And look, Sterling wasn't great against Motherwell a couple of weeks ago. He did score on Monday, to be fair to him, but some of the goals that we've lost, we probably don't lose that if it's Sterling that's playing. And again, he's made the change, and the change is too late. We're 3-1 down. Still takes him a couple of minutes, by the way, to ring the changes in.
Yeah.
It's just some of the stuff that he's doing and saying is baffling. I mean, I commented on it earlier on Twitter. His post-match interview with Rangers TV was bizarre. He basically just went through the game. You know, it was like, minute six, we scored the goal. Then they equalised. Then they went in front. Then they went 3-1 up. And you're like, what are you even saying? You know, like, it doesn't seem like a man who now anyway is comfortable in his position. And I know he said that he's expecting to be and whatnot, but I just can't see it. He's going along the lines of the way that Clement went. I mean, when Clement first came in, he was, you know, very direct, very astute in his interviews. As soon as the pressure hit him, and it's been the same with Danny Rowe, he starts mumbling and giving all these sort of weird answers. There doesn't seem to be any structure to him. I mean, I like Danny Rowe personally, and this isn't a personal thing, but he's just not good enough to be the Rangers manager, in my humble opinion. You said it earlier, Jamie, we've been found out in the split. We've played the three best teams out with ourselves the league, and we've played well for 45 minutes a game in all three of them. It's not sustainable. It doesn't win your leagues, and it's not even going to get a second place this year. We as a club, we really are at a crossroads now, I think, and I know we seem to say that every year, but there needs to be consequences. You cannot finish third at Rangers, especially after spending 30-odd million pounds in the summer. Now, I know he didn't make the signings in the summer, but he's still working with those players. He's been in there since October. He's no a new guy in the job, and people mentioned it earlier, Jamie, that if Danny Rowe came in and was appointed as an interim manager, and this was like his sort of bedding in time, would you be offering him the job on a full-time basis? No, you wouldn't. So, I mean, this is the worst Celtic team in 30 years. I think everyone agrees with that. Celtic fans agree with that. He has hand-wrapped them three trophies. No, it's just our luck that they didn't accept one of the presents when St Mirren beat them in the League Cup final. But they knocked us out the League Cup, they knocked us out the Scottish Cup, and now if they win their next two games, they're walking away with a league title, which puts them on more leagues than us.
Yeah.
There needs to be consequences to this. We can't just sort of continue to limp on and, you know, hope for the best. You know, it was like, come on, towards the end as well, where, you know, you like them, but we get beat off Queen's Park. That, like, that there's some things and some results and some events that, regardless of how nice a person or how good you may turn out to be, you just can't, you just can't do it, Rangers. And we've seen another one of them today, mate.
Oh, we absolutely have. It'll be very interesting to see how the hierarchy at Rangers deal with this, because there's, you know, there's two sides to this coin. They might think, from, and I met Andrew Cavanagh, funnily enough, against the Motherwell game at Ibrox a few months back. I had a meeting with him and Dan Purdy, a few players, and I like Andrew Cavanagh. He's straight down the line. He's a shrewd guy. I think we've got the correct owners in place, Craig. I think, again, for me, I think down the line, I think they'll come to a point where they'll admit that Danny Rowe's maybe just not the guy to get us back in contention and where Glasgow Rangers should be as a club. And I say that with a little bit of, you know, sympathy for him, because he's come in and done a reasonably good job. The big games, he's really no good, he's over the line in the big games, and that's what Rangers playing. Rangers Football Club are about big games, not mediocre games. I'm talking about winning titles and cups and challenging for most things. And the big disappointment today is the Champions League money. The top two teams will go through now, so it's guaranteed that Hearts and Celtic will play in the Champions League, which is a big purse for those two clubs. And we could have done with that money to invest in players, because I think there's at least 10 players. I looked at that squad today, Craig, and for me, 10 players need to go. So you're looking at a squad of 20. And I picked today, obviously 11 starting, 9 on the bench. I looked at the whole team and guys on the bench, and I'm thinking, well, there's a big job in hand at the end of the season here. We've got about 9 or 10 players. Obviously, there's a few of those loanees will go back. But there's 6 or 7 players that we've got on contracts that need to go. They're not Rangers class. And Andrew Cavanagh's got a big, big decision to make. And I would be very surprised. I'll be intrigued to see what he does, because he's got two options in my mind. He's got a couple of options. He either goes with Danny Rowe and says, look, you got us back into contention. We never quite got there over the line. However, I'm going to give you a summer window. And we're going to, you know, have a clear out, and we're going to keep what we want to keep, and we're going to rebuild again. And they might give him that time, because he simply only had the January window. So my thinking is he may well stick by him to give him a window in the summer. And if that don't work out, I can really see Andrew Cavanagh going back to speak to Stephen Gerrard. Because he's the only option to come in along with Derek McInnes. Now, Derek McInnes, Rangers can buy out a clause. I think it's just less than £1 million. So if Derek McInnes goes and wins this league this year, which I think they will, and we're all hoping they will, let's be honest. But Derek knows the league inside out, and I think that's where the Rangers are going wrong. I think they need somebody like a Gerrard or Derek McInnes that knows the Scottish League, that's been there before, knows every player in the Scottish League. And by the way, there's still a couple of players in that Scottish League I'd have in the Rangers team. Elliot Watts in this world said it months and months ago. Spoke to Dan Purdy about him. I said, I'm telling you, get this boy. As a number 6 for Rangers, he'll pull the strings in midfield. And we badly miss somebody that can pull the strings in midfield, has got that eye for a pass, and can just dictate the game, Craig. We don't keep possession enough. Conor Barron's great. You know, he covers blades of grass, and his effort and application is never in question. But playing for Glasgow Rangers, and you're looking to push for Champions Leagues, winning league titles, you need a bit more, Craig. And what I mean by that is you need a bit more class. You need to be able to go and dictate games, get the ball off the back four, pull the strings in midfield, get us playing, and play forward passes, killer passes, get a few goals from your midfield area. Our midfield's too lightweight. And I was banging on about losing goals earlier. That's not just down to defence. That's down to the midfield we've got. Ant-Man, not good enough. Too lightweight. Doesn't track back. Not good enough in midfield for me. Chukwuane is, you know, obviously new at the club. I think he's got a bit about him. He's still got a lot to prove. We miss Raskin today massively, just for his presence in the middle of the park. And I do believe he'll go after the World Cup because Rangers will cash in. And Mikey Moore always, you know, he'll always give you a good performance. And I just hope we can keep him because I look at Rangers' team today and I go, because you take Mikey Moore out of that, I'm thinking, who's going to create from midfield? Who's going to get in behind defences? Who's going to run at people? It's a bit worrying. But Andrew Cavan, as I said, has got a massive decision to make here. And it'll be interesting to see what he does.
I mean, I completely agree with you in regards to Gerard and McInnes. I'd have either of them quite happily. The issue with that is, though, if we're going to give Danny Rowe the summer transfer window, you're probably talking about punting him October, November time again. By that point, the guys that we could get right now could be in another bigger jobs. No bigger jobs than Rangers, but, you know, Steven Gerrard at the moment, he's not got a club. You'd imagine in the next few months, that could change. Gerrit McInnes, if he wins the league, if we don't get in there quickly with McInnes, there's every chance he could even be the new Scotland manager if Steve Clarke leaves, or he could get pulled down by England as well. Because if you break the old firm stranglehold after 40 years, the first guy to do it since Alex Ferguson, you can't tell me that there'll be Premier League teams that won't be interested in him. There's got to be. So what Andrew Cavanagh and the owners need to do now is, in my opinion, they need to be proactive. The last few years when it's came to managers, we've been reactive. We wait until things get too bad, it's too late, and then we always end up appointing someone far too quickly. And I think Danny Rowe was a perfect example of that. You know, people forget that in the recent sort of managerial search, he was the third choice.
Yeah.
In fact, if you look at Russell Martin getting him in the summer, could you even say that he was fourth choice overall? So that's not a good look.
No.
But at the same time, maybe from a club point of view, we need to, if you're going down to your fourth or fifth choice or who you want to be manager, maybe just hold off. Maybe look at trying to get an interim in to the end of the season. Don't be given that, you know, a fourth or a fifth choice inexperienced manager, you know, a 2.5 year contract or whatever it is. All these sort of players in January to spend money, because he has had money to spend in January, and that's what's been so frustrating on about Danny Rowe. It's the fact that since he's had his own players in, that's brilliant, mate. That's the all-inclusive lifestyle, isn't it? That's fantastic.
Well, I've got Mohammed here giving me a wee strawberry cocktail here. So
it's not Salah, is it? It's not Mohammed Salah. You're trying to tap
him up. It's not Salah, no. It's not Salah, unfortunately. I was out here a week ago, mate, and I met with the Egyptian president of the Federation over here. But yeah, it'd be nice to find a Mo Salah that could come to Ibrox, that's for sure.
But I mean, in terms of the managerial search, I think we need to be proactive rather than reactive. And that's, at the end of the day, you're talking about being ruthless in business and whatnot. If you are really ruthless in business, you are proactive and you're not reactive. But we need to actually talk about the games, Jamie, at some point as well. But I mean, first half, this is the only positivity you're going to get out of us tonight. Pretty good. We started brilliantly. We dealt with the atmosphere. Chirmiti's, you know, he was sure to trust the wild. And I actually, to be fair, I thought Chirmiti overall had a pretty good game today. We score early on. He has that sort of chance. It bundles up. Mikey Moore puts it in. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better start to the game.
Yeah. You touched on Chirmiti there. I think we all know he turns up to these big games he fancies it against Celtics and the big games. He's one of the few that step up, to be fair, when the heat's on, and you know, in the big games, he shows up. He was 15-20 minutes, he was causing it. You could tell the Celtics defense, particularly two centre backs, couldn't handle his pace and his power and his strength. Jermaine as well, no, the jury's still out a wee bit on him. And I only say that because I think the guy's got a lot of good ingredients. He's got good credentials. He's a big, strong lad. He's got pace, power. And he causes a few problems for defences. I don't think he's got 25, 30 goals in him a season. I still think he needs a foil next to him. I'm still not sure if we've got that right foil at the club at the moment. Adeniyi's obviously never started today. Was doing okay with him up front. And he obviously never started today because of he's been out for a few weeks. But Chermiti was causing it first 15, 20 minutes, and you're dead right. First half, and particularly first half hour, we more than matched Celtic. And we had a couple of chances. Big Fernandez had a chance from a header from a corner, which he didn't connect with. It hit his shoulder. Chermiti hits a post. And we could have been 2 or 3 goals up in the first half hour. But we're playing some good stuff. And overall, when you look at actually the stats on the game, Craig, there wasn't a lot in terms of the possession. Different. It was pretty much 50-50 possession wise. But yeah, we had a great start, and we all know the way Rangers play at the minute. You're going. Again, one each at half time, obviously, and you're thinking, God, can we sustain that? Can we at least give us a 75-minute spell? But no, it's the old Rangers way. We play for the first half hour, let them into it, they get an equaliser, and we go our own way, heads go down, and we look defeated. You know, we just can't sustain a game over 90 minutes.
Exactly. I mean, the equaliser did come against the RP. Again, we're just not aggressive enough in these moments, in my opinion. I think, you know, with every goal that you concede, you can always look at frailties and maybe quality issues and whatnot. I just don't think we're aggressive enough. I know we did give the ball away, but we're also not aggressive enough when we try and win it back. Obviously, the big thing with that equalising goal, though, is the offside. You know, one of two horrific decisions, in my opinion, today, mate. I know the referees weren't the reason that we got beat today, but, you know.
No, I think
I'm at a point now, mate, where it's just like, is it even worth your energy moaning the amount of massive calls we've had in these games that have went against us? Funny now how Hearts fans are now shouting and screaming about it. You know, it's not like it's happened to us for years, and you know, the user all of a sudden about to win the league. User all starting to get raging, but I did say that a few weeks ago. This is what it's going to take for other teams to actually start piping up as well, apart from Rangers. But it's blatant. I mean, he's obviously offside. There's zero debate about that. He's right in front of Jack Butland. Jack Butland, can he see that shot? Now, it's not even a shot, I don't think. It's like he's passed it into the net. He's seen an empty gap, and he's passed it into the net. I don't even agree. I know James McFadden was saying Butland wouldn't have got there anyway. I mean, first of all, that rule's baloney. But second of all, I think if he sees that, Butland probably would have saved it, because there wasn't much on the shot. He passed it into the net.
No, he actually side-foots it in the net. We got carved open with a little bit of good football from Celtic, to be fair. McGowan and Engels carved us open a little bit and broke our lines, but our midfield are nowhere. And then that's what I was touching on earlier. Our midfield are too lightweight. And what I mean by lightweight, Craig, is there's none of them prepared to put a foot in and make a real challenge in the middle of the park. They close down and they'll do some running, but there's a total difference in terms of breaking up play. You need an enforcer in the middle of the park. We've had that for years, going back to way back in the day. You had even the gaffer, Graham Souness, playing there, Ian Ferguson's of this world, Terry Hurlocks. The list goes on. Every team needs an enforcer in the middle of the park. We haven't got that. and teams know that. Teams are confident that they can mix it with us now, and they put a little bit. Teams go to Ibrox now and believing they get something out of the game. Teams yeah. were beat years ago before they even went to Ibrox because they looked at the team sheet and went, "I'm playing against him today. I've got no chance." And that is one thing that Rangers haven't got in that team. Throughout the whole team, there's no fear factor going to Ibrox now. Because years ago, you'd look at that team sheet and go, "God, I'm playing against Shaitley up front today. He's going to absolutely bully me. Midfield, I'm going to get bullied." There's none of that now. Rangers are badly lacking an enforcer in the middle of the park that can break up play, dictate the game. Because as much as I like Wee Baron, his energy and stuff, he's not enough quality. He's not physical enough. Chiquani's still got a bit to do, as I said. But if you play Ant-Man, listen, if you play Ant-Man and Mikey Moore on the same team, I'm not having to Mikey Moore here, by the way, because he's by far our best player. You cannot play two lightweight wingers like that. Mikey Moore, I don't mind him at all, because he gives you so much more going forward. His end product, goals, assists. I can deal with Mikey Moore. I can't deal with the likes of Ant-Man. And Olsen and these guys coming into the team, they're just not up to the standard of playing for Rangers Football Club. And until we start getting players who actually appreciate what playing for Rangers means, fighting for the jersey, putting tackles in. I've seen some people jogging today, Craig. I've seen it in the last games, even a Motherwell game. I'm seeing people jogging back, not breaking a sweat. I'm thinking, what is going on here? Do these guys want it enough? I don't see it.
No. And it's, look, we could all slag the manager for his tactics and whatnot, and that's fine. But some of these players need to take a good look at themselves. They're no Rangers quality. No. It's not all the manager's fault. But sadly, you can't sack players. I wish you could, but you can't do that nowadays.
You can't. But getting back to that goal, Craig, I mean, we all know. We've suffered it on many, many occasions last season and this season. And my good pal Bomber at Rangers, John Brown, was a bit outspoken about the Raskin goal over the line at Hibs last year. And I'll tell you what, I'm not being funny. I know every team gets decisions against them, but we just seem to get caned all the time.
And it's always in the big referee, it's always in these
it's
games.
The big games. That decision today, that first goal, and we get calved open. I'm the first to admit, the calved is open with a nice bit of play because our midfield weren't strong enough, as I said, touched on that. But the guy passes the ball in the goal. There's two of them offside. One is clearly impeding the goalkeeper's vision, which, by the letter of the law, is offside. I don't get how they don't look at that. And you do start the question. And listen, I'll say it, because Bomber says it. I don't know if there's corruption involved or what, mate. But you start to wonder that sometimes. You go, what is going on here? Because there's so many decisions. It's not just one or two. It's a multitude of decisions that are going against us like that now. And even going back to, listen, this is no sour grapes, by the way, because you look at the first opening three games we had in the split. How come we get the first three hard games? You look at all these things and you collate them and you go, is there something against us? You know, is there, you know, a bit of this and a bit of that going on behind the scenes? That's a very hard thing to prove. But we all know who's involved with SFA and who had been. And I'm sure that has some sort of some sort of persuasion in the SFA, for sure.
I mean, the thing that gets to me is more so the other clubs, because you know, you've seen in the past Rangers try and call out referees, and you know, remember when the season got curtailed and Rangers were really the only club to sort of stick their head up, apart from the other ones that got hard done by. Everyone else was so desperate to get the season finished for some reason, because you know, you had the Dunfermline guy coming out saying that he was getting bullied off other chairmen into making decisions, and Dundee emailed him. There's so many things. I mean, I think with the referees, first things first, the referees in this country are just terrible. That's the first thing. But second of all, I just think when it comes to 50-50s in these games, they can't be bothered with a hassle. If they give us a decision, they can't be bothered with it because they know the reaction it's going to get for Celtic fans. Now, look, we live in Scotland, right? It's a small country, small population. You've got two big teams, right? And even people that support provincial teams in Scotland, you always hear the question, aye, but who's your big team? So most people in Scotland, especially that like football, will have a preference to Rangers or Celtic, right?
Yep.
So you're obviously going to get referees that support Rangers, but you're also going to get referees that support Celtic as well. It's just mathematics, basic maths, right? Yep. That's going to be the case.
They're definitely going to favour one team.
The issue is that we've had, but the Rangers supporting referees over the last few years, because of the amount of threats that they've been getting, I think they're now just shit scared to give decisions for us in their cases. That's my fucking worth on it. But that was the first one. Later on, before the half ends, I didn't even put this in the notes for some reason, but that Johnson tackle on Mikey Moore, I can understand why he's given a yellow in real time, because it did look like that, but you look at that back before. You seen it last week with the Hibs Celtic game, the Jamie McGrath sending off. It was the exact same tackle. So where is the consistency? You're now looking at a point where, in my opinion, their goal shouldn't have stood in the first half, and they also should have been down to 10 men. And I think if we go into that second half, a goal up and them down to 10 men, for as bad as we've been, I don't think we're losing that game today.
No, you're correct. If Johnson gets a red card, it's a different game. And I'm never asking for people to get sent off. It's not in my nature. However, you're right. What you said, you know, another ref might send them off. And that puts us, you know, in a real strong position to go and win the game. If you're 1-0 and they're down to 10 men. But listen, you don't want to seem as if you're clutching at straws, because well, over the piece today, apart from the first half hour, the better team won today. And I don't want to come on here and think, you know, we're clutching at straws and stuff like that. But there is decisions that are going massively against us. And there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I mean, two things can be true at the same time. We can be rubbish whilst the referees can also be rubbish at the same time. But
well, money's a problem with the SFA. And I've said this for years, even when I lived down in London. I always used to say, why can't the Scottish FA, Welsh, an English FA, and an Ireland, whoever, does the matter? I know it boils down to money, this. But my suggestion is, why can't we have referees from other countries, particularly coming to do these big games in Scotland? Because then you've now got the question mark, is he a Rangers guy? Is he a Celtic guy? They're going to be more neutral for a start. And I just think that's the way forward. I'm not saying you do that every week in, week out, but certainly for the big games in Scotland, I think that's got to be looked at. And similarly, Scotland players, referees, could go down south to do big games, from quarterfinals to semi-finals, big league decider games, because you've got the same situation down there. People say the same thing. And I just think that might be a way of kind of combating this while we're having this discussion. But again, it comes down to money, Craig. It's the FAs, and you know, are they going to fly guys down? I don't see it being an issue personally. There's enough money in football that you would think the FAs could get their heads together and say, right, let's get this referee flown up to Scotland for this game.
Well, Jamie, how much are the SFA going to have made for the Euros, the last couple of Euros they got to? Hampden was obviously one of the host venues, but at the World Cup, be interesting to see how that money trickles down into, you know, grassroots development football in this country.
Yeah, well, that will be interesting. But I think that's the way forward, because there is a lot of discussions about this, particularly the World Cup games. And I think that might be a way of looking forward and thinking, this could be a way of combating this. Get a referee from England to come down, or Wales, don't matter to me who it is. And then you've not got this discussion of, he favours Celtic, he favours Rangers. I just think it's common sense for me.
Yeah. Wouldn't disagree with that one, to be quite honest, mate. But you know, coming out into the second half, we just don't show up, to be quite honest. They get that goal fairly early on. And after an hour, our season's done. As soon as they scored that second goal, there was no looking back. And the worst thing for me, when Maida scored that first one, the heads just go right down. Now, Tav should do better. We should be more aggressive. Fair enough, you can lose goals, but you just can't lose that effort. And then the third one goes in. You know, fair play at some strike. You can't disagree with that. And sometimes you just need to say, fair enough. Butland could he maybe have been a wee bit back on his line, maybe, could we have been a bit more aggressive, possibly. But sometimes you'll just need to admit that, you know, you're falling victim to a great strike for the opposition. But again, the thing that annoyed me about that was just heads dropped completely. You know, we've still got half an hour left, and if we got a goal back, the crowd would have turned on them, they would have got nervous, and even a draw would have been no good for us in terms of trying to, you know, finish a level or whatever, but it would have stopped them winning the league. And we were saying weird things towards the end of the game, like, you know, if it gets into like a couple of minutes injury time and it's 3-1 and you're not going to lose, take one of them out and injure them, or, you know, try and wind them up and get one of them booked or sent off. To try and affect their next game against Motherwell, whatever. But
yeah,
these players have just no get that sort of nouse about them to do things like that. But it was just the dropping of the heads.
We lack that, Craig, big time. I think we touched on this a few shows back, where Rangers players, sometimes they can be clever and take a yellow. I've seen it today in that game today. There was an instance in the midfield where Jaquani could have took her, and he did it against Motherwell a few weeks ago as well. Just be clever. He could have stopped play at one point and just take a yellow card for the team. They're not clever enough. They're not bright enough to say, look, my team's in danger here. We're getting overrun. I think Celtic had a 4-4 against 2 at this point. And I think I'm going, surely he's going to take a yellow for this. Just clip his ankles. Take him down. And listen, that's part of professional football. Every manager would tell you in that instance, take a yellow card so we can get bodies back behind the ball and defend our goal. We are not clever enough in the middle of the park to do these things. We don't suss out danger quick enough. And we badly lack experience across the middle of the park. And maybe somebody at the back that's really, really clever in terms of just seeing out games, doing the horrible, ugly side of games, defending well, you know. And Dzeko did okay today. And Fernandez, okay at times, but Tav was disappointing today in terms of the defensive frailties. I had him down for a couple of the goals. I thought he was way out of position. He caught a little bit wrong side of the ball. But you're dead right, Craig. We're not clever enough in situations, and we've got a lot of players. I know the average age of the Rangers team is quite low. It's like 23, 24 now, which is quite young. But we definitely lack an old head in that squad just to get us over the line in games and be clever.
Yeah, and as you say, we don't really have many players like that. Look, the heads went down, and it's not as if there was only a couple of minutes left. There was still half an hour left. And we've seen how Celtic Park can get when they start to get nervous and the crowd's on top of them. And they are desperate for something to happen against them so that they can start chanting, sack the board, sack the board. Sack. Like, I think their support actively want them to get beat in games like this just so they've got an excuse to do stuff like that. But to them, you know what I mean? But they just, the players, the management, they just don't seem to have the nous. To do those things in terms of the club, and the game just fizzed out. Half an hour left, Celtic were just passing the ball about from side to side. Hardly anything happened. There was a moment with two Robins. Alistair Johnson already on a yellow card, by the way, but you know, Robins makes a professional foul trying to, you know, cross the ball in. four Celtic players, maybe five, I think cowardly, run over to him and start sort of ganging up on him, quite cowardly in my opinion. But then the only person to come and stick up for Tuor Romans was Mikey Moore, 18-year-old Mikey Moore. He's gone right
that's
up. A couple other guys are sort of hanging me to get involved. Then for whatever reason, and I've looked back at this right now, Romans and Tierney get booked. Don't know why Tierney gets booked at all, right? Because he was just part of the stramash, but he's not done anything that somebody else didn't do. Romans made the foul. And you're thinking, wait a minute, Alistair Johnson was the one that was squaring up to him, you know, and one of his players ended up pulling him away from it. Now, I'm kind of old school, right? I don't think any of them should have been booked for it, right? But if you're going to book Tuor Romans for that stramash and Kieran Tierney, a guy who wasn't even involved, why has Alistair Johnson been let off of it again? Oh, and then what happens? Martin O'Neill, he's not a stupid guy. 2 minutes later, he substitutes him off.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Listen, that's what we talked about 2 minutes ago. That's called, as I called Martin O'Neill, the wily old fox. Martin O'Neill's, you know, at an age where he's seen it and done it all. He's a clever guy. That's good management for me. You see your situation there. He knows he's probably walking a tightrope. And was lucky probably to be on the pitch on a couple of occasions, Alistair Johnson. And Martin O'Neill's just been clever there. And we just spoke about players being clever there. And it's the same with managers. You see situations. Martin O'Neill's dealt with that in a way I admire. Would Danny Rowe do that? I've got my doubts, mate. I just think he's young. He's a bit naive tactically. And I think he struggles. I think he struggles in that kind of environment where I don't know if he can deal with seeing situations. Does he see them quick enough? Does he know how to do changes quick enough, substitutions? The jury's out, Danny Rowe, for me, on that kind of side of it as well. I'm just not sure he's quick, cute enough. I don't see him being a manager, Craig, as well. I just don't see him ripping into somebody at half-time, tearing the paint off the walls, having a go at people. I think he's too laid back for me. I like a manager with a lot of passion, who shows it in the touchline, who can, you know, be a good manager in terms of putting an arm around somebody when it's needed. But you certainly need a manager in that dressing room that the players are going to respond to, and they know they're going to get turned strips out of them if they're not performing. And you can see the way Rangers are playing. Some of them are going through the motions. I don't think if some of them players under different managers, i.e. Steven Gerrard's or Graham Souness's or Walter Smith's of this world, less than half of them wouldn't be in the team anyway. Let's be honest. There's no way, because half of them are not good enough. But I'm sure that they would tear the strips out most of them players just for their effort and application alone.
Yeah. In terms of moving forward then, it's going to be difficult. I mean, I've got two glorified friendlies left to play this season. You know, people kind of be bothered with this. It happens. Happens all the time. In terms of the playing squad, Jamie, we've got a few players out of contract. We've got all the loan players. And I will say, apart from Mikey Moore, because I think we'd all like to keep him.
Yeah.
But with the out of contract players, for a start, is there any one of them that you'd be looking to hand over a new contract? My quick answer to that is, apart from Mikey Moore, no.
No, I think, listen, I think out of the loanees, I think we're all in agreement here that they can all go back, particularly Olsen, Max Ahrens, and Magoma will go back. De Giga has done particularly okay. That's the only other one I think would maybe, if Rangers can do something in the summer, they may well look at making a bid for him. But definitely Mikey Moore's the only one that I would really get out in the wing to try and keep at the club as a loanee. And to be honest, as I said to you earlier, Craig, I had a real look in depth at that squad today on the starting 11 and the guys on the bench. And I'm looking at the whole thing and I'm going, you know, when you just look through the team and you go, right, Upland, Taff, got to go now, he's had his time. You know, you go through every one of them and you look at it, you go, Suter, obviously not involved today. John Suter can go for me. Taff can go for me. Ant-Man, yeah, had a couple of losses. I don't think he's good enough. Diomande, it's debatable at times as well. Is he consistent enough? So for me, does he, you know, probably to offload him personally. Bijrami, I think there's a player in Bijrami and I think he's been maybe overlooked at times. But if I'm Rangers hierarchy and I'm going, am I prepared to pay him 25 grand a week? He's never getting utilised. He's never in the manager's thoughts. So he's got to go for me. And then you've got the likes of Gassama and Asgard. Not good enough. Fits and starts. They come on as impact players and, you know, very, very occasional they look against. But when you look at when they perform as well, it's against the lesser teams in the league. They never come good against the big teams. And that's what you need at a club like Rangers or Celtic. If you're playing that kind of level of football, you need to perform in the big matches. You know, you can't be just performing against mediocre teams every week, week in, week out. So, Craig, there's 10 players I've just named that I would let go tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the ones you can collate money for are obviously on contract. You've got Ant-Man, Diomande, Bijrami, Gassama, Asgard. There's a couple that maybe not even touched on that I would sell. And I would honestly, if I was Andrew Kavanagh, I'd sell a lot of them and the fringe players, like Sir John Shooters of this world, and I'd make a serious bid for Mikey Moore. I was just going to ask Tottenham the question, because that way you know whether they're prepared to sell him or not. Now, that might mean that it's going to cost you £20 million. But if Rangers can cash in on all them players, that's going to bring you £10 or £12 million in. And you put that together in the same pot that they're going to get for Raskin this summer. There's the money for Mikey Moore in terms of the transfer fee. The big problem, the stumbling block is, are Rangers going to be prepared to pay 40 to 50 grand a week? That's the debate that Andrew Kavanagh's got. And I'm sure, I know for a fact, that's the big quandary he's got. And if Tottenham, I think a lot of depends on Tottenham, because if they stay up in the Premier League, I don't see them bringing Mikey Moore back to play for them.
Yeah.
If they dropped into the Championship, that's a whole different ballgame. Because I think, from Tottenham's point of view, they might want to see that boy maybe playing in the Championship in England now, or maybe a lesser Premier League team. That I don't know. But I think the wages might be a stumbling block for Rangers. I don't think the transfer fee will, if they get rid of all the players we just mentioned. But he's the one that just makes a difference for Rangers, and that's a serious problem next season if we've not got Mikey Moore playing for Rangers Football Club.
I know. I don't have the comment on there, but I mean, I can just imagine everyone saying, ah, well, Spurs, you know, we can't afford them this, that, the next thing. Ask the question, you know.
Yes.
If you don't ask, you don't get.
There's
no point. It's the same with certain managers, like, and guys like Lampard, who have been mentioned it. Oh, Lampard won't go. He's just been promoted by Coventry. You can still ask the question, you know. I think people, some of our fan base, were maybe a wee bit sort of guilty of undermining ourselves or undervaluing ourselves at times. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're still the biggest club in Scotland. We've still got a massive draw. Even if we are in the Conference League next year, there's still going to be players, especially players for the SPL, that would walk over broken glass to play for Glasgow Rangers. Yep. So we're down and we're out the now, but, you know, we'll be back next season trying to get back on top. That's the way it is at this club. As much as we're hurting today, and we're for over the last few weeks, we kind of just sort of put our heads down and say, oh, well, they won't come, or this won't happen, or that. But, you know, we need to try and be positive and on the front foot moving forward, as difficult as that is, but sort of just sitting down feeling sorry for yourself, it's not the Rangers' way, and it's also not going to do you any good. But
you do need to as a club, they just need to the reset, have a look at. There's lots went wrong this season, we know that. And I'm not even going to talk about Russell Martin, because that was an absolute clown of a manager. Big mistake. And Andrew Kavanagh was man enough to come out and say they made the mistake. And basically after that, it was pretty clever, Andrew Kavanagh, because the whole scenario where he had Patrick Stewart and Kevin Fairwell shot down in flames with all the, you know, the press conference, that was engineered, because when you actually look at that situation, those two were gone 2 weeks later because they get shot down in flames and the questions they were asking, i.e. Kevin Fairwell's son and involved with the club, and the list goes on about the nonsense, and the two were clearly not given what they brought to the table for Rangers Football Club as a CEO in Patrick Stewart and Kevin Fairwell.
Aye.
Obviously, his signings, apart from Chimiti, I could maybe see Chimiti going, well, you know, there's a maybe there, but apart from that, you know, the whole signings was diabolical. But Rangers need to look at that and think, right, is Danny Rowe the right person for us to take us forward? That's the decision that Andrew Kavanagh's got to make now. So I'll be interested to see what he does.
Yeah, you know, I'm a firm no on Danny Rowe. You know, nice guy, nothing personal against him. He did well at the start. He got his back into contention, but at the end of the day, this is a results-driven business. We're a results-driven club. And it pains me to say that, because, I mean, I've always kind of been a traditional person in the sense that I always look to the players first and what they can do, and I'm always the last to sort of jump on managers, but see, after everything that's happened with us, most of the last 5 years, I'm just fed up. Yeah. Some of these people, do you know what I mean? I'm just fed up. And it's really sad because, I mean, Rangers as a club traditionally, I think up until about 10 years ago, we'd only had about 17 or 18 managers. But we've probably doubled our manager intake in the last 10 years.
Yeah, it's
crazy.
It's been worrying. But it shows you, you know, the demise the club's been in. As I said, I do think we've got the right owners in place. And we just need to get the right manager. And more importantly, Craig, we need to get the right players out in that pitch. Because for me, I look at that start 11 today and I'm going, really? There's maybe four or five I'd keep. And that says it all for me. You go, nah, yes, yes, he's a no for me. There's too many no's for me. And I'm thinking, you know, you look at that start 11 today, Butland I'd probably keep. However, we need to look at replacing him further down the line. He's getting on a bit now, and his positional sense for that. By the way, Medina's goal was a great goal. He took it brilliant. Wasn't he closed down quick enough with Tavern Barron on the edge of the box when he could have got closed? And again, you just go and fill him there if you need to, or just, you know, put him under pressure. Butland's probably, for me, starting position, maybe off his line a wee bit. But it was a wonder goal. And a great goal. And it was a lovely goal of winning any game. But getting back to Rangers players, I'm looking at that whole team today. I'm saying Fernandes, yes. Butland, yes. Romans, yes. And then you're actually struggling, Craig, to go, Mikey Moore, yes. Chermiti, yes. The rest for me are no's.
Yeah.
That's half your team. You cannot have half a team at year 11 that you're not thinking is good enough to start or even play for your club week in, week out. So there's massive work to do at Rangers in the close season. For me, I think there's a lot of players have to go. And we need some new players in. We need a bit of experience in the dressing room. A little bit of nous in the dressing room. Players that can play under pressure and perform in the big games, not just the mediocre games.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. And, you know, it's a sad state of affairs when you're looking at half your starting 11 and a must-win Old Firm game at the end of the season and saying, aye, I'd point you, but that's where we are. As I say, Jamie, we're down in it now, but we'll be back in the immortal words of Arnie. the grind never stops. Never, ever, ever. But no, thanks for joining us tonight, mate.
No, it's a pleasure.
Been a, been a pleasure. I'll let you get back to your mojitos or your daiquiris or whatever it is. You're obviously having a better time than any of us here back home.
I'll go and drown my sorrows with a banana colada, I think, Craig.
excellent choice. Thanks for joining me, mate. It'll be Brian and Rob on Friday night to review the Hibs game and preview Falkirk. Apart from that, guys, thanks very much for tuning in as always and getting involved. Thanks, David, for joining me, and we'll see you soon, guys. Bye-bye.
See you soon. Cheers.